Is it Sunday yet? Almost. Welcome into the Almost Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Derek, joined by Not Your Average Joes. We got the trio back together today. How we doing, boys?
Doing well. Happy to be talking to both of you guys. I know it's been difficult to get the three of us together during the offseason. But I just got back from Lake Placid yesterday. I was there for a few days. Quite happy to be home because it's really cold there and I don't really ski or snowboard. So whenever I go there every winter, I kind of just eat and drink the entire time.
You do some luge?
Not that either.
Bobsled?
Not the bobsled. I watched some football. There were some good games this weekend. And I know both of you guys are happy with the Eagles and 49ers both winning.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe Mason. Joe Bellner was texting me like, oh, dude, you got to check out this Levis, his Will Levis documentary about his time at Kentucky. And I'm like, dude, my team's still in the playoffs.
I don't got time to. We can't focus on that yet.
I can't be scouting quarterbacks for the upcoming April draft.
Yeah, I don't really like him as a prospect, but I wanted to get to know him because I feel like out of nowhere, he's just, a lot of analysts are saying that he could be the QB1 in the class. It kind of feels like Mitch Trubisky all over again to me. But just skill set wise, he's a big guy. I don't know. But the documentary was really cool.
Nice. Yeah, I'm stoked to be here, guys. I'm glad we got all three of us to chat about some, conference championship football. So, and we got Derek's Eagles going against my Niners. I think that's going to be a really good game. Probably not as electric as the Bengals and Chiefs, but I think that's the matchup to watch this weekend is going to be the Niners and Eagles.
All right. And speaking of those matchups, we're going to talk some over-under, some spreads. We'll make our picks. We got all three of us making picks this week. Last week, I just want to recap. We did pretty well overall. And dang, if the stupid Jacksonville Jaguars had not kicked a field goal, I was losing my mind. I would have went 4-for-4. Because I took Kansas City minus 8.5, and they were winning by 10. And they kicked the dang field goal to do the, let's just kick the field goal to get the onside kick. And then they always lose. No one ever gets the onside kick, especially in the playoffs. Come on. So all the people who bet Kansas City just lost money on the backdoor cover. And with that, Mason did pick Jacksonville. And I don't know if you actually, in California, you didn't really put money on it. But
no, but we each got one wrong. And yeah. I heavily probably underestimated the Eagles. You just barely missed the Kansas City game. So
yeah, I was close. You were not close. We each got one wrong, but I mean 38-7 is not close to covering 7.5 points. So I took Philly in the minus the points, got that right. We both got the Cincinnati plus 5.5. I think we discussed it. Did we say we kind of wanted Cincinnati straight up?
Yeah, I didn't like the line. My friends were talking about, I don't know the lingo they used. It was called like a teaser bet or something. Like Vegas knew something.
Yeah.
And that's why they made the spread that much bigger. But yeah, we both agreed like this spread was way too big. We both took Cincinnati.
Yeah. And they won going away. And then we had San Francisco minus 3.5 against Dallas. And we both took San Francisco and it was not the prettiest of games, but they still got it done. And, the Cowboys get to live with an offseason of their last play with Zeke getting pancaked into the ground. Oh, man, I loved watching that. That was the funniest thing.
That was hilarious.
And I also saw Dak Prescott's playoff record is the same as Tony Romo's. Wow. You all see that?
I did not, but
yeah, he has the exact same record as Tony Romo. I think it was 2-5 or 2-6. And they're both 0-3 in the divisional round. And the last time the Cowboys were in the NFC Championship game, Jalen Hurts had not been born yet. So Jalen Hurts was born played all of his college career, got to the Eagles, sat behind Wentz, then got into the Eagles lineup and took them to the NFC Championship before Dallas could.
And Mike McCarthy just said today that Jerry Jones told him he wants him to be the coach here just as long as Tom Landry did. So Michael Gelkin tweeted this out. So he's like, 3 years down, 26 years to go.
Oh my gosh, is that how long Landry was the coach?
Yeah.
That's how long was Jimmy Johnson the coach? Probably
for
a decent amount.
Most
he
of
won
the
some
90s,
Super Bowl,
I think.
So
yeah.
Mike McCarthy. What a play. What a play call. But the Eagles are playing the 49ers. My Eagles versus Mason's Niners. I want to throw it to Joe Beldner first because he's probably going to be the tiebreaker here. Let's be honest. What do you got? So first, Philly or San Francisco with the points. And
yeah,
let's give us the over-under is 46. It's 2.5. Philly minus 2.5.
You know, I'll be rooting for the 49ers with Mason. I wanted to start off by saying that I've developed into quite the Purdy fan. I just like that underdog story. I'm rooting for the chaos during the offseason of who's going to be the quarterback between him and Lance. And, at this point, I would say that I want the 49ers to win the Super Bowl out of the four teams left. But with that said, I would probably, if I was betting my own money on it, I would take the Philly with the points, and I would take the under. I'm not sure that it's going to be a super high scoring game. We have two elite defenses. Obviously, Philadelphia's offense could be prolific with Devontae Smith playing the way that he's been, and A.J. Brown's always due for a big play. But I think against this 49ers defense, they're going to make it tough enough where we've seen Philly's offense be kind of slow in some games against better defenses. I think it's going to be a hell of a game. I really can't wait for it. I love those playoff games when you have two defensive juggernauts and then both offensive have capable weapons on both sides. So I think it's going to be a great game, and I can't wait to see you guys trash talking in the Slack throughout the entire game, hopefully.
The funny thing is when games are going on, I'm not really the biggest trash talker. I just like to let the game play out. I don't want to get too far ahead of things. Mm-hmm. I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch. Mm-hmm. I had people telling me the Eagles were up at halftime. It was 28-0, I think, or 27-0, or I can't remember what the score was. It was a lot to a little. And I was like, what happened last week? The Chargers blew a 27-0 lead. I'm not going to start celebrating that the Eagles are going to the championship game when they're up 28-0 when we saw a team blow that same lead last week. I'm going to wait till the clock hits zero. That's how it was in the Super Bowl, too. They looked so good, and the Patriots were just never out of it. And when that clock hits zero, I'll celebrate. But I'm not going to be smack-talking until then. But let's see. My choice. With that 2.5-point spread, it's basically like a pick. Because it's very rare that a team wins by like 1 or 2 points. And so if they win by 3 or more, you're still covering. And so I think the Eagles win the game. And so I take them on the money line, but I would also take them minus 2.5. I think it's a pretty even call right there. Certainly you can win by 1 or 2, but more often than not, you're winning by 3 to 7. And so I'll take Philly. And I think the under is a good play. It's in Philly. If it goes over, I think it's because it was a lopsided game in either direction. I don't think we're hitting the over because it's like 27-24. I think it's going to be like a big, big blowout. What do you think, Mason? I'm going with the under, though.
Yeah, I'm gonna flip-flop on the 49ers, obviously. But I'm also going to take the under. You know, I've seen a lot of mixed things on Twitter. And I listened to a lot of radio this week. And there's a wide spectrum of people saying this is either going to be a 2-touchdown game for the Eagles or it's going to be a really close game with kind of like a flip a coin for the winner, right? And I think the key to being Philadelphia is controlling the time of possession and winning the turnover battle, right? And not letting their offense get a lot of opportunities to throw the ball downfield and make big plays. And that's how Jalen Hurts lost his only game of the season to the Commanders this year. And you look at the second half of the Cowboys game and how the Niners just control the time of possession, ran the ball. I think that they do it better than anybody. And Shanahan loves to defer the coin toss because he loves to score at the end of the second quarter and then get the ball back and score again in the second half. He's done that a lot this year. So that'll be interesting. And that's gonna have to be San Francisco's success. They only have had one turnover this postseason, and it was a muffed punt return from Ray McLeod. So that's really going to be the key for the 49ers to win this game.
Mm-hmm. And then I think the health of Christian McCaffrey, I know he's been on and off the injury report for the last couple of weeks, but I think if the 49ers aren't able to establish the run in this game, then you could see Purdy have, you know, he kind of struggled in this last game. It was the first time where we really saw him not look like a quarterback that's going for like 250 yards, two touchdowns, kind of like flawlessly delivering the game plan, because that's what we've seen in previous weeks. But if the team can't establish the run, then, you know, the Eagles have some big guys up there that are going to be right in Purdy's face. And, you know, that makes me a little bit nervous for him, given his draft capital and his experience and, you know, the pressure of such a big game so early in his career. And, you know, so I'm rooting for him, but this is going to be a legendary story if he could beat this Eagles defense and how prolific their offense can be. So I'm a 49ers fan for the week.
I think that Brock Purdy's going to be running for his life. How many times did he get sacked against the Cowboys? Do we know?
A couple times. They're I'd have to look at that. The weakness of the 49ers defense is going to be their secondary, and I think Jalen Hurts can definitely stretch the field with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And with how good their O-line is, I think they're going to give him enough time to make some plays downfield. And then the Niners offense is going to have to run the ball, because I think Philly's, bottom third against the run, but their pass defense is really good, and they obviously get to the quarterback. So I think both offenses are going to try to exploit those weaknesses against two really strong defenses.
I mean, Saquon Barkley didn't exactly run wild on them. And so,
yeah, but I would say the game got away from the Giants to the point where
the Eagles, can get out to a lead, they're very capable of stopping and shutting down a run game. But I think you're right. If the weakness of the Eagles is sometimes they have this propensity for allowing sustained drives. They really don't give up a lot of big plays. And so sometimes, as an Eagles fan, you're just like, come on, stop them on third and five. Get off the field. And if they get into a situation where they're just stuck on the field, which is what happened against that Washington game, where it was really their only real loss, at least in my consideration, because Hurts was in the game and they lost. The Commanders dominated time of possession. The Eagles can lose this game against the 49ers if they lose the time of possession battle. If they can't keep the defense off the field and get them breaks, then they're going to lose. But I think they're going to just be sacking Purdy at least three or four times, getting off the field. And, I mean, I'm optimistic. I'm an Eagles fan. Why would I root against them? Why would I pick against them? I don't know how you're real. Like, I guess analysts pick against their teams, but I don't. They're the number one seed. They won 14 games and lost two games with their backup QB.
Yeah, Trent Williams shut down Micah Parsons last week. You guys are gonna have to.
Right.
Mike McGlinchey is a great run blocking tackle. He is not a good pass blocker.
Yeah, they shut down Micah Parsons. The Eagles have Hassan Reddick, Brandon Graham, Josh Sweat, Javon Hargrave, Fletcher Cox, Ndamukong Suh, Linval Joseph, and that's just their defensive line.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a tough test, and
they're going to be fresh into the fourth quarter.
They will. But the Niners, man, they're physical. Yeah. That was a brutal game for both teams. The Niners are going to come in on one day shorter rest. They're going to be more beat up than the Eagles for sure. So it's going to be tough for the 49ers to win this game.
Enough about this game. Let's just have it play out.
We're just passionate, Derek.
I took a Devontae Smith first touchdown score. So if you're betting on the game, that's the play I made. First touchdown score, plus 1,100 for Devontae Smith.
I like it.
And let's talk about KC versus Cincinnati. This is a tougher game for me because I just don't know what we're going to see from Patrick Mahomes. He said he's good to go, but he has a high ankle sprain.
I know. He was walking around fine after his press conference yesterday. It looked
Yeah,
like.
what kind of pain meds is he on? They'll get him ready. He'll play, but he
So
twists
Kate,
that ankle in the game. That's a huge risk.
so as of today, it's back to Kansas City minus one.
Yeah, that's what it
It's
said.
moved around a lot. I saw it get to Cincinnati minus 2.5 at one
Oh,
point.
really? Because that's what
Yeah.
it said on ESPN. Let me check FanDuel while you're talking. So, Mason, what's your pick for this game?
Yeah, with minus one at Kansas City at home, I am going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals here. They're going to go into Burrowhead, as they're calling it now, because Joe
Oh,
Burrow has
man.
not lost to Kansas City yet in his career.
Yeah, FanDuel's
Three
got
and
him at
O, or
KC minus one still.
What'd you say, Joe?
what's his record against the Chiefs?
I believe it's 3-0.
Yeah, 3-0.
3 in a row at least.
Jeez.
So this is going to be, I think this is going to be the more exciting game to watch between the two. I'm thinking it'll be something like 27 to 24, or like 30 to 27. It'll be a little bit more high scoring. And I'm also going to go with the over for this one.
I would agree with the over. Yeah, this ankle injury for Mahomes is really messing everything up. I'm hoping that he comes out and he's able to be mobile and then he doesn't re-injure it during the game, especially. But I've got a rule, and it's that I don't bet against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I just think that they're going to figure it out. I'm expecting a big game from Kelce. I think he's going to help his quarterback out. I do think the Bengals might have a slightly better defense than Kansas City, at least on paper. But yeah, no, there's just when it comes to Mahomes and Andy Reid, I just think that both are offensive geniuses and they just figure it out when their back's against the wall. And obviously, we have some different circumstances with the high ankle sprain that Mahomes is coming in with, but I expect them to get it done, and I think it's going to be a close game because I think that Joe Burrow is awesome and that offense is awesome. But I think Mahomes is just a bit better and a bit more experienced and has what it takes to win, even though Burrow is 3-0 against him.
Yeah,
There we
so
go. So Mason has Cincinnati in the over. Joe took KC in the over. I'm going to take Cincinnati in the under. I mean, it was snowy in Buffalo, but I think we all kind of thought that that was going to be an absolute shootout. And there were 37 points scored. Last week, I mean, we had Kansas City. Mahomes got hurt. He's certainly not healthy still. They hit the under in that game as well. The over-under was 52, and they scored 47. And so I can see a game where Cincinnati, they've been holding the ball a decent amount. Like they've been having sustained drives. They're killing clock. And so I can see very easily this game going under 47 with it being like 24 to 21. With Cincinnati winning, I have them winning straight up. I mean, you can't really pick Cincinnati plus one where they're not going
Yeah, be
to
pretty tough.
win. It'd be a push or tie. You can't tie. So I don't see like in the betting market, what's the point of taking a minus one or a plus one instead of the money line?
You get the chance of like if Kansas City wins by, or I guess
Yeah.
if somebody wins by a point, then it's just a push, right?
Yeah, you got the push chance. All right, so I'm still going to take Cincinnati plus one and the under of 47. And in this game, I took. Who did I take for the first touchdown score? I can't remember. I
T.
parlayed
Higgins.
it. It might have been Higgins, honestly. I feel like he's been really under the radar in the playoffs, and this might be the game where he breaks out.
I can see it too.
He's been disappointing in the playoffs. Yeah, I took T. Higgins also plus 1,100. So
in all,
those total odds were plus 14,300.
Nice.
Did I bet $100 on that? Absolutely not. So I will not be winning $14,000.
So Hayden Winks today tweeted out something really interesting. In all three of the Bengals' wins against the Chiefs, at one point during the fourth quarter, the Chiefs had a 75% chance or higher of winning in those games. And all three of them, the Bengals won.
That's really crazy. Yeah.
So the Bengals came back. Mm-hmm. Or the Chiefs blew it. We shall see.
Yeah, I can't wait for that game.
Fantasy. Dynasty questions. Joe Bellner has come up with them. And it is, the question is simple. Who would you rather roster? So what you got for number one, bud?
Yeah, so we were just talking about Mr. Burrow. And, you know, he's Joe B just like me. So I'm a big fan of him. But for the first one, we're going to look at who would you rather roster between Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. It's pretty interesting because going into this season, I think every one of us would say that the answer is Herbert. But obviously Herbert, I think, came in as the QB 11 on the year. And then Burrow, he was top three or something like that, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, and he's killing it in the playoffs. So recency bias is definitely going to help out Burrow. He's 26 years old. Herbert's 24, and Burrow the last two seasons has had over 4,400 passing yards. And Herbert, you know, he had that one year where he had the 5,000 yards. He was like one of the youngest to ever do it. And even this past season, which seems like it was a bit of a disaster, he still had over 4,700 passing yards, which is higher than Burrow has ever had in a season. It might be unpopular at this point in time, but if I'm picking between the two in Dynasty, I would rather have Herbert, not only because he's younger, I just think that he's more talented than Burrow. But his supporting cast is worse.
Yeah, I also wonder, like, how much of Herbert's play this year was impacted by, was it his rib?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what hurt.
Plus, he had, like, he never really had his full squad out there all year. Like, Allen had the hamstring, and then Mike Williams got hurt.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of a wasted season, other than Austin Eckler finishing as the RB1 for the team.
Yeah, I've seen some startup drafts go, and Burrow's like the second pick behind Mahomes or Allen in Superflex.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Like the market moves so fast sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's wild. I would probably rather have Herbert at 2 years younger. And if I had Joe Burrow, I'd probably go see what can I get with Herbert to, like, make that deal happen if, like, you really wanted to. But they're both great quarterbacks. I would love to have one or both of them on my squad.
So which one would you rather have?
I'd rather have Herbert just because I could probably, like, if I with the – I'd rather – okay, so this is just making things complicated. I'm a – in Dynasty, I love the value. So, like, if I had Joe Burrow, I would move him for Herbert plus.
And I'd take, what I if think, it's a startup draft? Side. Startup draft, and you're drafting in the first round of a super flex.
Then I'd rather have. Then I would take Joe Burrow before him.
I would take Herbert.
Interesting.
All right, let's make that assumption.
You would take Burrow because you think you could get more for him.
Exactly. Like that. His price is higher, right? So I'll go capitalize on that, draft him, and then trade him to get the extra value I want out of it.
I don't care about the age. I think the 2 years for quarterbacks is irrelevant to me. Mm-hmm. But I think I would also take Justin Herbert because he was wildly below what I would expect in terms of touchdown passes. And Joe Burrow, the last 2 years, has been insanely efficient with his passing touchdowns. And I think they're going to kind of meet in the middle a little bit more, and the production for Herbert is going to be better long term. That's
agreed.
Pretty much where I'm at.
So it's funny you said that the age doesn't matter there, because the next two up have a 2 year age gap also.
I mean, I say that because they're like 26 year olds and 24.
Exactly. But the point I'm making here is that, you know, we have Burrow and Herbert, who are more traditional pocket passers. I mean, they could scramble a little bit, but they do a lot with their arm. And then the next two players I want to talk about is Jalen Hurts versus Lamar Jackson. You know, they their fantasy value, they most of it with their legs, is not a secret. Hurts is 24 years old, where Lamar Jackson is 26. I would rather have Hurts at this point in time. Seems a little crazy going into the season, but you know, I love what they're doing in Philly. I love the surrounding cast. You know, like you have Devontae Smith, AJ Brown, and Dallas Goedert, who I absolutely love after this season. I just think that, you know, when you're looking at rushing quarterbacks, you kind of have to treat them like a running back. And when I'm looking at running backs, I start to see the decline at 27 years old. So Lamar, you know, he's been hurt the last two seasons. He takes a lot of hits. And when his speed starts to go and he's getting up there in age, I just don't think that he has tremendous, tremendous arm talent where he's going to be, you know, an elite option. So I would rather have the 24-year-old in Hurts, who's in a great situation. Maybe it was a question if he was going to be the quarterback moving forward prior to the season. This point in time, that's not even a question. He's definitely Philly's future. He's the answer. If you don't respect him at this point, you should be respecting him. And when I'm looking at those two options, I'm definitely taking Hurts.
Yeah, I think you said it. I'm taking Hurts as well. Plus the two, you know, you get two extra, he's 2 years younger, and he's probably going to get a big contract extension pretty soon, just like Lamar. But I'll take the 2 years, and I'll go with Hurts.
Yeah, I'm going with Hurts too. I don't think it's that far off. I think Lamar Jackson's still an elite fantasy option, and I'm really just going off of like the recency bias of Lamar Jackson keeps getting hurt. Jalen Hurts hasn't gotten hurt. Next year, Jalen Hurts might get hurt. Lamar Jackson might play the whole season. We can't predict the future. But the trend is going up for Hurts. The trend is going down for Jackson. His weapons, we've seen it, they were bad. Andrews disappointed us. Bateman got hurt. And then there was nobody else. The Eagles have guys locked in on their offense for the future. They have Smith. He's going to be around for at least 3 years or so. If he leaves after his first round pick, like contract is up, he's still around for 3 more years. We got AJ Brown signed long term. Goddard has an extended contract. My only concern about Jalen Hurts' future is that elite offensive line is not going to last forever. Lane Johnson's getting older. Jason Kelce almost retired before this season. Those are two massive downgrades when they leave, regardless of who replaces them, because those are all pro-level players. So that's my only concern. I mean, I can't really, like, that's future looking ahead, but you can't really say that, oh, Lamar Jackson's offensive line situation's better, but that is my only concern about Hurts moving forward.
Very nice. So we're going to move over to Hurts' teammate. This one is A.J. Brown versus CeeDee Lamb. You could also throw in DK Metcalf here because I would like to use three of them because they're all pretty similar to me. AJ Brown's 25 years old, CeeDee Lamb is 23, and DK's 25. If I had to rank them 1, 2, 3, it's very, very difficult, like I said, because I think they're all awesome talents. And we're talking about like awesome young wide receivers who are going to be good for, you know, the next, I don't even know, five to eight years. So I would say I would go CeeDee Lamb, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown.
I think it's just dealer's choice. Those are just great guys. I think DK Metcalf is third for me because the quarterback situation, we don't know what that's going to be. Geno might play again, which he was good with Geno, but he wasn't like he wasn't amazing. CeeDee Lamb, great player. Clearly, the Cowboys need more. They need a better second wide receiver. That might impact him. They're going to have to get somebody else because having T.Y. Hilton as your wide receiver 2 or 3 and Michael Gallup, They lost in the playoffs. They had high expectations. They're going to have to make a move. And then A.J. Brown, he's going to have off days, but you can't beat much in the way of A.J. Brown's high weeks. Very few guys can put together a splash game like A.J. Brown can. And so I think that CeeDee Lamb and A.J. Brown are pretty much tied for me, and DK Metcalf comes in behind them.
I'm going to go CeeDee Lamb first, and I know he lines up in the slot a lot, but like you see guys like Cooper Kupp and Tyreek Hill, they line up in the slot no problem, and they're great for fantasy, right? They kind of line up all over the place. But I think if you're a contender, I think I'd rather probably roll with A.J. Brown. He's just so good. He's a big alpha receiver. But if I had to rank him for Dynasty, I'd go Lamb, A.J. Brown, and then DK Metcalf.
Nice. All right, the next one, we're looking at two running backs, both 24 years old. And it's Najee Harris versus DeAndre Swift. I think most people going into this season would have definitely leaned Swift. Both of them, you know, had a lot of highs and lows throughout the year, depending on what part of the year you were looking at. But when I'm looking at these two, I'm actually siding Najee Harris. He's got the build to be a three down back. And when it comes to DeAndre Swift, every time I watch him play and he's healthy, I think that he's awesome. But I just don't think he's ever going to, you know, automatically get the goal line work, even if Jamal Williams isn't there. And then he's just one of those players that I don't think that he's lasting the full season, like, ever. He just seems to break down throughout the year. So I don't love either option, but if I'm picking between the two, I'm picking Najee.
So
I'm a Swift, and it's pretty easy for me.
I'm a Swift truther. Yeah. If DeAndre Swift would, if he gets the goal line work Jamal Williams got, he would break fantasy football.
It's never happening.
It probably will never happen. I'm still going to cross my fingers and hope it happens, but
there's this lottery ticket aspect still to Swift that you can see if he puts it all together, he'll be incredible. And Najee Harris, we've seen what he's capable of. Najee Harris isn't getting better. And I'd rather take the potential of Swift becoming an absolute league winner than, like, the Josh Jacobs of Najee Harris.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, not Josh Jacobs proved us wrong, but I'll more often than not bet against Najee Harris getting better than, like, the RB 9 to 15.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had 2 years of Najee Harris so far. Yeah. In the first year, we saw him lead the league in receptions by a running back in his rookie year when Big Ben was just not able to run and just dumping off passes.
And
we had last year with rookie Kenny Pickett. I just want the guy that I think could get 30 touches in a game. And I don't think that will ever be Swift. I think he breaks down too easy. And then Najee's just a big dude. So hopefully Kenny Pickett, you know, transitions, starts getting better, and starts looking his way more in the receiving game, because I think that's really his pathway to being a very dominant fantasy running back.
All right.
This one's
really tough. I tried to make him very difficult on us. And even going into this one, I'm not sure that I have the answer. But it is Jalen Waddle versus Devontae Smith, Derek's favorite. I was just so impressed with Devontae Smith this year. Like, he is just such a good player. I think he finished as the wide receiver 10 on the season. And then you have Jalen Waddle, who's just...
Did he really?
I think he did. I could fact check that, but I'm almost positive that he finished as a wide receiver 10 on the year.
Yeah, it was wide receiver 9 in PPR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think 10 and half PPR. But
didn't feel
both
that way, having him in Dynasty.
No, he was another player where there was a lot of ups and downs. But I think that Waddle is just otherworldly fast. You have Tyreek Hill there, who, you know, he has the contract, and I think he takes a lot of pressure off of Waddle. Whether that's a good thing in terms of how many targets Waddle gets in a game, or just the quality of targets pretty high when you have a guy as good as Tyreek Hill on the other side of the field. I would slightly go Jalen Waddle over Smith, but it's extremely, extremely close for me.
Yeah, I'm going to go Devontae Smith, and don't really have much to comment. He's just a stud.
Man, I mean, Jalen Waddle finished in front of him on the season.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking in wide receiver 7 versus wide receiver 10. Ugh. I don't think you, it's like these is apples and oranges. You can't really go wrong with either of them. I think I lean Jalen Waddle right now just because I think that, what do I think? He started out the season looking really good. If you ask me after like week 5 or 6, who would I rather have? It's Jalen mm-hmm. Waddle. At the end of the season, Devontae Smith moved the needle a little bit more. And we'll see what he does the next 2 weeks. Heck, I mean, I love Devontae Smith, but if you're telling me I could get Jalen Waddle plus something else in a dynasty trade, sign me up.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I tried to make these like super close because when I was thinking about like what it could be for the listeners is, you know, like if they're in a startup over the summer or something or during the off season, you're going to have that choice where you're picking at, you know, like in an early round, and you just have all these studs just sitting there and you have to pick one. So that's really why I wanted to pick these like really, really high end players that, you know, it's flip a coin kind of sometimes. But the next one we're going to look at is 3 tight ends. One of them really emerged this year. I know Joe Mason's a huge fan of him. You have Mark Andrews, who's 27 years old, George Kittle, who's 29, and TJ Hawkinson, who's 25. When Hawk got traded to the Vikings, it was, you know, there was a lot of speculation whether that was going to be a great thing for him for fantasy. And then he really finished the year off super strong. I know he had one of those blow up games towards the end of the year where he had like over 30 fantasy points. If I'm ranking these guys, I still have Mark Andrews as number 1 for me. But I would actually rather take Hawk over Kittle. Kittle's obviously been unreal with Purdy. Their connection's honestly hilarious because like if you had Kittle in redraft this past year, you were pretty disappointed. Then all of a sudden, you know, like the last draft pick comes in to be the quarterback, and then he's putting up crazy numbers every week. So he has a little bit of recency bias on people's minds where maybe they're a little higher on him than they would have been. But with Kittle, he's actually my favorite football player. I'm a huge Kittle fan. But he breaks down. He's getting up there in age. Sure, you have Travis Kelce, who's going to be like 33. And he's still awesome, but that's kind of rare. So Kittle approaching in his 30s and also not being so durable, I would have him ranked last year. What about you guys?
Yeah, I got it ranked the way you have it out here. Mark Andrews, Hawkinson, then Kittle. But yeah, I love Hawkinson. I got a lot of TJ Hawkinson in Dynasty. And yeah, he's only 25. He's going to have plenty of good years in front of him.
Mm-hmm. And I learned that Joe Mason does not want to trade TJ Hawkinson either because I sent an offer and got shot down pretty quick.
I think I have the 2 first guys pretty well ahead of Kittle. The consistency is just not there for Kittle. He'll win you some weeks, but he'll also lose some. I'm having a hard time deciding between Hawkinson and Mark Andrews. Oh, man.
That's the recency bias that, like, we have such a hard time with, where it's like you had this guy 2 years ago finish as a tight end 1.
Yeah.
People are taking him ahead of Kelce in redraft. Craziness.
Yeah. And now we're back.
And then he finished as a tight end 4 this year and was disappointing most weeks. The whole team, you know, they had a lot of issues on that team that I pretty much ignore. But then Hawkinson finished off the year 6.
I'll take Andrews because unless they go out and sign some superstar or draft some incredible wide receiver, Mark Andrews is the first option in the passing offense.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Hawkinson is not.
Let's say the Ravens got D-Hop.
I'll take Andrews because it's dynasty. Mm-hmm. D-Hop's what, got 2 years left? He might fall off next year.
Let's move on to some younger guys. You got my guy, Breece Hall. You know, what a devastating injury we saw this past year. but he is 21 years young. And then you have the other stud rookie running back in the class, Kenneth Walker. I don't know if you call him Kenneth or Ken. I still tend to call him Kenneth Walker, for it's a habit, but he's 22 years old. He looked pretty awesome when Rashad Penny went down and he got the reins, but then he kind of went through a little bit of a rough patch towards the end of the year. If I'm taking either of those these options, I would be leaning Breece Hall.
Yeah, this is not close to me. I'm taking Brock Purdy's Iowa State teammate, Breece Hall.
I want Breece Hall. If you want to win next year, I might say get Ken Walker, because Breece Hall is not going to be 100%.
I'll be high on Ken Walker in redraft next year. I think he'll have a good year.
Me too.
So if you have Breece Hall and you're like, my whole roster is stacked and I just need one running back to actually play the whole season, well, good luck, because no running back's playing the whole season. But as it stands right now, Ken Walker is the healthier guy.
Mm-hmm. And I think Breece Hall is so good that there is a part of me, and I know these are dangerous words given the hype around Bijan Robinson, and I think Bijan's so good, but there is a part of me that thinks that Breece could be as good as Bijan Robinson. But, you know, the uncertainty and how awesome Bijan was at Texas, you know, it seems crazy to say because everybody wants that 101 pick right now. But I think Breece Hall is an unbelievable talent. So we're going to do one more. This came up in the in our group chat in our Dynasty League. So we were looking at Derrick Henry versus Mike Evans. they're getting up there in age.
I'm laughing, but I mean, it's a split vote pretty much.
I know. And, you know, if I'm taking one of them in redraft next year, it's obviously going to be Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. If you take away the last game of the year that we saw from Mike Evans in the regular season, where he exploded for, like, I think he had 3 touchdowns, which was up to that point the amount of touchdowns he had on the season. You were pretty disappointed, but if I'm looking at both of them for Dynasty, and it's not just because I have Mike Evans on my team and I'm trying to trade him away, I would be taking Mike Evans just because, like I said, the age where I start to look at trading running backs away is 27, whereas wide receivers could be up to 32, 33 years old and still be technically in their prime. So I would just rather have that, you know, 3-year window rather than when are the wheels going to fall off with Derrick Henry, because we weren't sure if it was going to be this past season.
Yeah, I'm taking Henry in redraft, and I'm taking Mike Evans in Dynasty because I think he's just a great value right now. He's never had, less than 1,000 yards in a season.
Yeah, he beat Randy Moss's record for consecutive seasons.
If you're in a Dynasty startup and you need a great late, like, I'm pretty sure he's probably going, 8th round? Like, last year he was a 7th round pick. He's got to be later than that now. Like, he just seems like a great wide receiver value late. And he did it. He's done it with what? Did he have Josh Freeman as his quarterback back a while ago? I don't even remember.
Who knows?
Maybe it was not that long ago. But Jameis, yeah. And Fitzpatrick, like, I think he can do it with, you know, whoever.
I don't think it's going to be Kyle Trask either. So I don't think we're going to have to go down that road.
And I just think Derrick Henry is one major injury away from having no dynasty value ever. So, knock on wood, that never happens. But
these are two players where it's fun to talk about because their redraft stock has no correlation with their dynasty value.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the young guys, it's like, oh, so-and-so is an RB1 in redraft. He's an RB1 in dynasty. Like, Mike Evans was still being drafted as, like, a high-end wide receiver 2 in redraft during redraft season, and he's probably, like, a wide receiver 4 or 5 in Dynasty right now. And so who would I rather have between the two? Jeez, I voted Mike Evans. I just think he's safer.
Let's go. Oh, man. Before we close out, I had a funny story where, you know, all three of us are absolute fantasy football junkies. But I, for one, did not play football in high school. I played peewee football growing up, flag football in college, but I never actually had that, like, you know, high school football or college football experience. And one of the guys I work with is like, he was like an awesome best football player in my grade in high school, and then went on to play college ball. And it's just crazy what some of the stories you hear, where like, you're like, no way that's actually true. And he was telling me that, you know, like in like the super cold games where like you would see like in Chicago or like the Packers, at every single level, because he said they would do it in high school and in college, they actually will piss their pants to keep themselves warm. And I'm sitting there, and I, like, you know, like I have this grin on my face as he's telling me this. I'm like, oh, you're messing with me. Like, I know that you were the big football player in high school, but I'm not gonna fall for this one, you know, type of thing. And he was like, I'm dead serious. Like, NFL players, guarantee you, in these super cold games, they piss their pants to try to stay warm. So I found that extremely interesting and, you know, a little bit funny at the same time. So I thought I would share this story with you two and whoever else is listening.
There we go. Yeah, I also did not play organized football. I played in the backyard all the time. And the guy throwing to me ended up being the high school varsity starting quarterback, but I did not pursue that route.
Nice.
In the backyard.
I played high school football. I wasn't very good. I was the only one that could be the long snapper, though. I was the only one who could snap it all the way to the punter. So that was my rule.
There you go. So that's going to do it.
Did you
ever
piss your pants to stay warm in a game?
No.
I know you're out in California.
Never. Never.
That'll do it. Now that we're talking about peeing our pants, we're going to close out the episode. Go Birds. We'll see who's the one who's sad next week. This is the always Sunday.
It was almost always.
It was almost always Sunday. This has been the Almost Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. Good luck in championship week to all your teams out there, non-fantasy wise. And we'll see you next week. Bye.